most of you really don't appreciate that the practice is real. See, most of us stay trapped, see, in our conditioned belief system. And I quote the one physicist who said, your beliefs are wrong. See, oh no, they can't be. Mine are based upon good, sound reasoning. It's based upon duality, and it's wrong. And that's why you support pain and suffering. See, I just had somebody this morning who shall go on name saying, I would never do anything that hurts people. I pointed out to this person, well, gee, I've sat in the room while you hurt people. Now, in a minor way, but the fact of the matter is, this is simply one level of causing pain. I'm not a hypocrite when I talk about that. I sit up here and I tell you about my own experiences with this darling Soko. See, even when I think I'm doing what she really needs, the best thing for her, I cause pain when I impose my will on her. And then I can step back and rationalize my behavior. I'm smug. Well, she doesn't know what's good for her. Absolutely she does. Absolutely she does. And this works at any level. If you begin to free yourself from your conditioned belief system, you look out here and you see what needs to be done, not what you think needs to be done. See? And the point behind practice, I'll say this again, very quickly. See, very quickly. It's the transformation of your life. And don't interpret that, see, from an intellectual, egocentric position. You can't grasp even what your life is, because you will sit and you will cause yourself pain and suffering. See, even when you think you're going to do something good, coming from a dualistic perspective, the good is always at a minimum level and it will always carry with it the bad. Why is that? Duality. You can't raise good without raising bad. How do I transcend that? That's what the practice is about. When you can transcend that, then you can enter into the body of bliss. That's an absolutely accurate 100% guarantee. See, we're going on with this fascicle, see, of Zenki, see, undivided activity. And the opening line is, the great way of Buddhas thoroughly practiced is emancipation and realization. That's the whole point. See, and it has to do with you. It isn't someone else. That by intellectual study, but Roshi said, you can't take care of this problem of life and death that we have at this very moment. And he said, this is the most grave. The intellect can't solve that problem. He said, this most grave, important matter is what we have to take care of. See, we have to take care. Ento is with a cousin, and her family, see, is rather limited at this point, who has suffered a stroke. See, birth and death, birth and death. I've been rereading Beyond Biocentrism, and that's one of the things that in the beginning, into that, they stress this issue of birth and death. And while we may play in a delusional state, a fantasy state, that we are immortal, see, that nothing can touch us, see, all of a sudden, in the now, because it transcends space and time, in the now, you'll find that you're having to deal with this issue of birth and death. For me, and most of you know, see, my best friend drowned in the fifth grade. So I was plagued with this, but it even goes earlier, when I was very, very small. And at that point, I was aware, when my dog was killed, hit in the street, and they took me up, I was very, very little. And I can remember standing and looking down at him and seeing the blood flecks. And yet, I wasn't isolated, see, in the self. I was this amazing thing around this wounded place. And that always plagued me. See, death. See, the pain, the suffering, the fear, the death. See, and after my best friend's death, I went, got off the bus, rode to the funeral in the bus, see, and I went and dropped by my grandmother's house because I was plagued by this question. And I asked her how she felt about death. I don't remember what she responded, but it obviously didn't satisfy me. See, and I remember saying to her, well, my dad's not afraid of death. See, it was important to me that somebody wasn't afraid of death, because I was. See, Roshi goes on to read from this fasco. See, such activity makes birth, holy birth, death, holy death, actualized just so at this moment. This activity is neither large nor small, neither immeasurable nor measurable, neither remote nor urgent. Birth in its right nowness is undivided activity. Undivided activity is birth in its immediacy. See, this is Dogen talking, see? And Roshi says, and it has nothing to do with large and small, defiled or pure, coming or going. It has nothing to do with artificial devices. Just appreciate and follow this great way, this unsurpassable way, this Buddha way. See, again, artificial. You can go out and you can pretend. You can get all of your gimmicks. You can do all of the things you want. It has nothing whatsoever to do with it. See, this Buddha way. What is this Buddha way? What is Buddha? Awake. See, who? Talking about whom? Who is awake? Is there anyone there but yourself? See, you don't know if your neighbor is awake. See, you only know about yourself. Isn't that true? That's an inner koan joke from this morning. That's what Dogen Zenji, here Roshi goes on. That's what Dogen Zenji is saying. Not only what he is saying, that is the life that he lived. See? And that's the kind of life he wanted his followers around him to live. That's what he wants us to live too. Have faith that your life is already one with the way of the Buddhas and the way of realization. Then confirm it. See, we can say it, Roshi could say it, and he was the foremost Zen master in the world at his time. I have no doubt about that. And I have no doubt that he practiced what he preached. No self-deception, because I have sat where he would be critical of his own, see, manifestation. His realization, he saw it clearly. But because of his karma, see, he would refer to himself as green, see, and still immature, causing problems where he didn't need to cause a problem. He didn't hide from it. He didn't posture. See, he was totally direct, see, totally present, and that's what made him a rather unique human being to be around. And goes way beyond that, see. Have faith that your life is already one with the way. What is the way? See? Does Dogen, do any of the great teachers tell you, you have to go someplace and look for it? I used to think that way in the early sesshins, sitting there being miserable, knowing that everybody else around me was in profound samadhi and they were all on the verge of massive kenchos. See? I thought, well, maybe a monastery in Japan, or what am I going to do? I got a family, but maybe if I could get a few months and go into the mountains in the Himalayas, see? That's where I could find it. See? See? Your life is already one with the way of the Buddhas and the way of realization. Then confirm it. You have to prove this to yourself. See, you have to validate, you have to verify. And this is where Dogen Zenji at one point talks about just having a theoretical understanding, and watch how many of us want to argue from that, I understand it. I have people who come in to the Dok room and they say, I get that, Nyogen. And then I very gently suggest, is your life going well? See, if it isn't going that well, maybe why are you crying to me about it? See, see, understanding doesn't accomplish anything. It's the realization and actualization. See, confirm it. When we look at our lives in such a way, it's not a matter of old or new, coming or going, appearing or disappearing. Each moment of our lives is no other than the undivided activity of Kanan Bodhisattva, who has thousands of hands and eyes. See, and again, what is he actually talking about here? He'll lead you in deeper into this, but think about this. See, the actualized life of Kanan Bodhisattva, the activity of it. See, what does this mean? This is what you're beginning. See, not some kind of a conception. Scholars, see, have written volumes and volumes of dead words about what living Dharma is. And it's no longer living Dharma, it's dead words. See, if you can't take responsibility, you will never know. There is no God out there who's going to come and save you. See, forget it. See, and this is what's so wonderful. You don't have to be something special. See, you don't have to be somebody's pet. All you have to be is determined. See, with deep aspiration for freedom. See, emancipation and freedom. He goes on, quoting, "Birth neither comes nor goes." See, "Birth neither appears nor is already existing. Thus, birth is totally manifested, death is totally manifested." This is Dogen. "Birth neither comes nor goes, neither appears, see, nor is already existing. Thus, birth is totally manifested, death is totally manifested." Then Roshi goes on to say, how can we follow this with our common sense? Simply, it is impossible to follow by our normal conscious awareness. And yet, isn't that what we do? I've heard of people giving talks at different places, some from here. One person said, and I'm simply what people told me, this person said, I answered one koan, after that I realized I could answer all koans. It was news to me, because the person worked with me, and I wasn't aware that they'd ever answered a koan. But, see, we play games with ourselves. No self-deception. See, that's what you have to have. See, and I will tell you, this was the amazing thing about Maizumi Roshi. No self-deception. He said, from time to time, Dogen Zenzi says that too. See, with the very restricted, limited capacity of your understanding, he's paraphrasing Dogen, don't try to understand. See? Elsewhere he says, Buddha Dharma can't be known by humans. He says, in a way, it's a very contradictory statement. It can't be known by human beings, then what are all of these teachings for? See, definitely, it's not for the Buddhas. Buddhas don't need these kind of things. It's for us. Buddha Dharma shouldn't be understood, or it can't be understood, by our self-centered, biased understanding of life, because right there, it's restricted. See, here is a summary, see, and it's a critique in a certain sense of even some of his own successors. See, those who mistakenly think, see, that the delusional world of the egocentric self, samsara, well, that's just the way. No, see, Buddhas can't be known by humans. There's a place, and I've quoted Dogen in this, he said, no Buddha has ever transmitted to a sentient being. Buddha can only transmit Buddha to Buddha. See, this simply means that from the limitations of the egocentric self, your discriminating consciousness, you can never experience this. Tom Campbell talks about it in a slightly different way. See, and I'm certain he's not looking at the practice of Buddha Dharma, where he says you can't know what you don't know. But watch yourself. You really clearly think that you can know what you don't know. It's an amazing kind of thing, the way we function. See, and when you function from that perspective, you cause yourself pain and suffering. And if you cause yourself pain and suffering, if you understand the quantum physics, see, if you understand the metaphor of a still pond throwing a stone into the center of it, that stone in the center is what? That's you. And what radiates out, see, is the energy of your emotions. And do you see those concentric circles? Everything, see, within, see, the range of this amazing stone in the center of you reverberates throughout the universe. See, we think that the energy, the waves, subside when they hit the shore. No, it just becomes more subtle, more discreet. When you're in pain, you cause everyone pain. See, and if you don't see that, see, the point to Buddha Dharma is to begin service to other, because there is no other. See, it's that dualistic vision that causes the pain and suffering, where you think that out there, that's where the enemy rests. Oh yeah, there is negative energy, but it's how you work with it, see? And he says, and if it can't be known by a human, this is Roshi, and if it can't be known by a human being, then known by whom? By Buddhas. It's obvious, see? Then what he's saying, he said, that's what he's saying at the beginning of this fasco. See, and I quoted that. The great way of all Buddhas. And who are these Buddhas he's referring to? He doesn't need to talk to the Buddhas. He talks to us as if we were all Buddhas. And being Buddhas, our lives are the manifestation, the emancipation, and the realization of undivided activity. Non-dual activity. That's your life. See, experienced from that perspective, see, that's the enlightened life. Now, see, if you think that you can draw conclusions, how clever as to what the, you miss it. All you can do is draw delusional conclusions about delusional thoughts. And then what do? You project from that. See, and you project out into what? To yourself. You're talking neurosis to yourself. In some instance, psychosis. You're producing it. We had somebody here not too long ago, see, and I talked about my own experience and my sister's experience. See, and this person had talked about, you know, well, he's had this guy. But the fact of the matter is, if you don't see it, you're the one who causes yourself, see, the pain and suffering. Those of us here. Are there those who karmically have been so damaged that they can't hear this? Yeah. Yeah. And they will talk about that. When I taught at the school in Morning Sky, it was a school for violent, seriously disturbed, violent teenage boys. See? And some of these boys simply, see, were not wired correctly. See, they simply did not have the capacity, see, to truly lead themselves out. What do you do with it? See, they weren't separate from me. That was the field that I worked in. That was the field of my mind. Then what do you do when you work there? What do I do when I look out here and I see the pain and the suffering? See, I worked with the now. See, and the director was an amazing man. This was an amazing school. Domon and Ento tried to get a relative of hers in there, and it had been closed down. The government had shut down. It was the government that shut down their funding, right? Yeah. See, but it's an amazing school. But do you know what was really amazing? The class I took over was considered the most violent at the time. See, and after a while, they could go off campus. They had never been off campus before. And as a matter of fact, how silly was it? See, David once asked me, he said, Yogan, would you write up what you have done? See, to bring this transformation. Some of you, a few of you might remember, my TA was here. Forrest came a couple of times. Domon met him. Remember Mushoko? I don't know if you were here when Forrest came. Big guy. Very athletic, very smart, see? And those boys, you know, you could see a transformation in their life. And they asked me, what do you do? Dave said, what do you do? And I said, Dave, you'll never understand this. I don't do anything. See, I don't project out any limitations of any sort. I simply work with where they were. And believe it or not, one of the things we started in the class, we began every class with breathing exercises. We would sit and be conscious of our breathing. See, and it got to such a point that if I would come in and they would be hurrying and I would start to do something, a hand would shoot up or something. By the way, how what kind of a class was it? We never had more than 5 or 6 boys with 2 adult males. See, they could be a handful. See, hand would shoot up and say, Bill, you forgot our breathing. See, again, I was settling down. Nothing special. I was at the heart of this amazing samadhi. This is Roshi in the psychiatric unit. See? And if only the therapist could understand it, if they could get quiet, if they could leave their conditioning. See, I impose no limitations. And the boys, over the 3 years that I taught there, we saw positive changes. Soko loved these boys. And they loved this. I had this really hot truck. And they loved that truck. And it had high-end CBs that weren't quite legal. But those of you who ever got into it, you'll know what I'm talking about. See, but see, working with this, work with where you are. See, and it brings great joy into your life. He doesn't need to talk to the Buddhas. He talks to us as if we're all the Buddhas. And being Buddhas, our lives are the manifestation, the emancipation, and the realization of undivided activity. You are it. There are no limitations. You are creation unfolding, even though Zen teachers out there don't get it. Roshi would say it repeatedly. You are creation unfolding. You find that boring? You want to compare that to some kind of a psychedelic trip? You simply, see, are so deeply trapped in the delusional mind, see, that you can't realize what emancipation and freedom is. Roshi goes on, this is all about the life that we are living and how this life is to be appreciated. When I sat, I was in the Mountain Center when he was doing this, giving these talks. And I would sit there often thinking, well, what? It's not all that neat. My life sucks. You know what? See, because you don't see it. See, Mazen was telling me when she first typed this, transcribed this, see, she, again, all of a sudden she sees another part because of where her practice is that she didn't even see. Those are living words. I've talked about that here. See, really living words. See, you can read them. Read them and you'll understand them, you think. And you do at that level. Read it 5 years later and you say, wow, how did I miss that? See, read it another 5 years. Wow. See, living words. There's other stuff you read, you put away, you never want to look at it again. He goes on reading. Know that there are innumerable beings in yourself. Innumerable beings in yourself. Also, there is birth and there is death. Do you see this mind? See, and that's when I say that. I'm looking at something that's the same and yet different. It isn't conceptual. When you see mind in mind only, it shook me. It rattled me in the best of all possible ways. Wow, mind. See, mind. And he says, within this is Dogen, innumerable beings in yourself. Also, there is birth and there is death. See? Rising and falling, rise and falling. And then Roshi goes on, this is also what Dogen Zenji expresses at the beginning of the Genjo Koan. As all dharmas are Buddha dharma, there is life and death, enlightenment, delusion, practice, Buddhas, and all creatures. See, you are it. freed from the limitations of what Tom Campbell said, this 7-inch room. And he said, all of this rumination in this 7-inch room, what can it say about this? See, he mentions those aspects of the innumerable Dharma as the scenery you see when you go on the great way of Buddha Dharma. The scenery that you see when you go on the way. See, caught in the story. See, caught, when I was a little kid, so many things. I went once, I shouldn't have done it, but people would shame me in it. I was one, I couldn't go to scary movies, monster movies. I don't know, probably none of you are old enough. The original Thing. You know that one, Mujo? Yeah. See, let me tell you, I lived in hell when I saw that movie. I lived in, and I don't know why I did, my friends, they would go and it didn't bother them. I had severe nightmares, I had panics. And the thing that really bothered me in the Thing, see, that the dogs at one point, that blink, they tore an arm off the huskies or something. And I had this big guy that was my buddy, that I had carried people's trash to the dump in a wagon to buy him. He was half lab and half pit bull. And he was Leo. See, it was an amazing, and they wouldn't let him, because I figured if they'd let him come in and stay in my room, because I slept in a basement away. I was terrified, horrible night terrors. I had night terrors all my life. And I tried to get him, can't Leo come? Because once he was there, I was absolutely certain nothing could come through that window, because I knew this guy would be there. See, fear, terror, see. This is the world that we live in. See, we make it a nightmare world. See, we can have the immediate nightmare that I did. I went as an adult. See, even here, I would go through these night terrors. I don't anymore. That's why I tell you, you can transcend, you can move above. I don't tell you because of understanding something from reading. I tell you about my experience till I'm sick of it. But that's the point. If I can transcend those levels, those terrors, anyone can. But you have to be committed. You have to, and that doesn't mean shaving your head. It means that you have to apply the practice. He mentions these aspects of the innumerable Dharma as the scenery you see when you go on the great way of the Buddha Dharma. What is the great way of the Buddha Dharma? This is it. And the scientists know this better now, a cutting-edge scientist than the spiritual teachers. I'm hoping there are some spiritual teachers who know this. See, it's the scenery. It's the scenery, see? Life and death are pieces of this scenery. Do you remember when we talked on this fasco some time ago? See, who watches the rising and falling? See, until you free yourself from this dualistic mind, you won't know that. That's what it started at. You have to confirm this. See? That's what we know. These innumerable beings, innumerable Dharma, as one's own life. Then he goes on to read, quietly think over whether birth and all things that arise together with birth are inseparable or not. See? There is neither a moment nor a thing that is apart from birth. See, again, how is Dogen using birth? See, how is he using birth? See, where do all things appear? Birth is the appearance. See, there is neither an object nor a mind that is apart from birth. See, Roshi goes on, he said, everything comes out with the birth of each of us. This is a very important point. See, your life is being born and dying with the sky, with the mountains and with the rocks and the trees. Continuously. See, at such a rapid rate. Remember, we're quoting Roshi earlier on. See, where he talked about 6.5 million times birth and death in a 24-hour period. Think about this. Yes, you say, well, no, think about this. Grasp this. Kastrup said the changes, see, from future past, see, this pivotal point here where the transition takes place. See, how fast is this? He said decimal point, 43 zeros, one part of a second. And then he says, don't try to imagine that. And yet some people will try, say, well, I can kind of grasp. You cannot grasp it. See, 6.5 million times in 24 hours comes very close to that kind of an understanding. Roshi is quoting from old masters of several thousand years ago. See, I just made quick calculation. I forget what it is. I'm surprised if Shikhan didn't check me out. What is 84,600 seconds in 24 hours? I think that's it, or it's either 86,400. See, Shikhan likes those numbers too. See, those are the seconds in 24 hours. Now think about it. What is a second? Click, 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 click. Usain Bolt in 9.5 can go 110 meters. See, the rest of us will have a hard time getting to the head of the stairwell. See, but that's click, click in 24 hours. And Roshi quotes 6.5 million times that. Whew. That's really making it fast. What does that tell you about this now that you think is permanent, unchanging, until every once in a while there's a platform where you look in the mirror and all of a sudden, I look in the mirror and there's an 81-year-old man there. Well, woo, where did that come from? Because there is also something that does not feel 81 years old, is not caught in the dualistic implosion, see, into the fear and the suffering of old age. Have you watched that within your own family? My mind has opened up. My mind gets broader and wider. See, my life isn't a drag or boring. I won't say what I usually say there. See, sometimes students are trying, see, but it gets wider and open. See, what an amazing thing. Has nothing whatsoever to do with intelligence. See, because I just marginally get by. I generally know where my shoes are, and I can even tie them by myself. See, pretty good. Your life is being born and dying with the sky, with the mountains, and with the rocks and the trees. This is Roshi. See, your life and my life, even as we have a life together with all beings, are not the same. He's telling you, see, we sit in here, in this body of oneness, but we're not the same. Kastrup does a beautiful job using the metaphor of a river, see, and the river of samsara, Buddha used. And within that, there is the collapse. This gets into the quantum wave. He calls it in psychology, the altar. See, all of a sudden, it collapses into a whirlpool. That's you. See, and there are causes and conditions, karma. See, this whirlpool, that whirlpool, you can't take it out of the river. See, and there are infinite numbers of whirlpools, and it is simply the way the river manifests. My own experience, and what little experience I had, I used the ocean. I didn't know that the old masters use it because it's obvious. It's the simplest metaphor if you truly see it. See, the great ocean. What's the shape of the ocean? You can't give it a shape. See? And again, metaphors can only be taken so far. See? But the wave, how does the ocean function? Wave rises, conditions, cause and effect. See? And are there a limit to the number of waves that can come up in the ocean? No. Literally infinite. See, and each wave has its own direction and duration. That's you. See, and then when that falls, see, rising and falling, that's the life of the wave. That's the life of the Buddha Dharma. See, that's the functioning of the Dharmakaya. If you see this, not intellectual, not to posture, you won't be free, you won't be emancipated, and you won't manifest as pure compassion. Your life, my life. Even as we have a life together with all beings are not the same. Yours is yours, mine is mine. It's not just a flat, one-dimensional universe like a backdrop. See? It's being born and dying with each of us. It is inseparable from each of us. This passage here, and at this point, the groans would come in. He says, this passage reminds me of a famous koan. Remember that? He says, case 49 in the Blue Cliff Record, a monk asks Daizui. Some of you have done this koan. When the kalpa fire flares up and the great cosmos is destroyed, I wonder, will it perish or will it not perish? See? And Roshi goes on. He said, what is this kalpa fire that will destroy the universe? He said, it could be anything. See, and this is Roshi at such a refined state. See, most people, if we approach this kalpa fire, we make up all kinds of things. See, he said, perhaps right now there seems to be less danger of an atomic or nuclear war. Remember, he was alive when they dropped the atomic bombs in Japan. Kori Roshi was there when actually saw a flash. See, this is what I was told. And he dropped. He was civil defense. He wasn't part of it. See, and he dropped behind some kind of a little concrete embankment. And Roshi told me that Kori Roshi always felt that it was his samadhi that saved his life. He had burns, see, but saved his life. See, Roshi now is relating to personal experiences. He said, perhaps right now there seems less danger of atomic or nuclear war, but we already have 20 or 30 times more of these dreadful weapons than is enough to destroy the Earth. There is still a problem of how to control them. Actually, he said, it's happening even at nuclear power plants. Many of them have accidents, and they're just not revealed. He said it's also happening with so-called pollution. But it's more than pollution. It's accidents. It's starvation. How many people die each day, not by natural causes or even by sickness? He said the kalpa fire is a timeless fire. It's burning right now. See, that's what I say here. See, right now. See, the seeds of your own destruction, the cellular, see, mutations are taking place. See, the kalpa fire within your body, it's guaranteed that some of us will simply collapse back into the great ocean. But see, if you have reached emancipation, see, you simply are watching the scenery of this most amazing dance. So this kalpa fire, he said, is not just a fairy story, see? He's got, Mason's got his seas all the way through. See, so this kalpa fire is not just a fairy story. See? We are actually facing it. See? What is this great cosmos it destroys? That's what Dogen is talking about here. With your birth, innumerable dharmas arise together. That's the great cosmos. In other words, it's not the world of someone else. It's your world, your universe. See, and he said, the monk is asking if, when that kalpa fire destroys the world, will this life die or not? And Daizui says, yes, it will perish. See, the monk is still not quite sure. It's more than not quite sure. He's probably horrified by that. Why the hell am I practicing Buddha Dharma if I'm going to die? I thought somehow I was going to avoid this. The monk's not quite sure, so he asks it, does this perish with it? And Daizui says, yes, yes, it goes with it. When you die, the universe dies. That's not the answer the monk wants. So he asks again, why does it perish? And the master answers, because it's the same as the universe. He said, it's kind of funny. This is Roshi talking. You may not find it funny. He said, it's kind of funny. Overall, these two are actually saying the same thing. Perish or not perish, born or unborn, dying or undying, it's all right there. See?